Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, welcome to episode number 27 of the Vex on Vex podcast. My name is VexX, and today we are joined with two of my favorite guitar players on the fucking planet Earth. Johnny Zero, how are you?
I'm doing good, man.
Vincent, how are you?
I'm doing really good.
So, from Nation Zero and Ascension Drive, both lead guitar players, both rock stars, gearheads, gear snobs, it's going to be an awesome fucking hour of rock and roll. Plus, Johnny's going to yell at us about Star Wars, and that's going to be glorious.
Yes, it is.
Oh, man, I'm just saying, I'm just honored to even be here, man. Ascension Drive, Starscream, Vex, hopefully the new band.
That we're not allowed to talk about yet. Yes. Wink, wink.
The secret.
But things are afoot, Johnny Zero. Things are afoot. Money has been put up, and things will be happening very soon.
I can't wait, buddy.
So, Vincent, you're a great guitar player in Ascension Drive. You're literally one of my favorite. Literally, I'm not making that up. Johnny Zero is a bad motherfucker in his own right. I love how he plays guitar. Mm-hmm. Now, Johnny sings lead in his band and plays guitar lead. That's some hard shit to do.
Sincerely.
Like, I'm not a biggest guy. Like, I can't even fathom it. Like, here's when I get to perform, I sing my parts. Solo, it's like sit back, take a drink, air out, get my shit together. And Johnny Zero's like, no, I got this. And you're like, oh, okay.
No, I'm saying this guy. Shit, man. It's just an extension of my body.
Yes. It appears to be.
But you know what? This kid here, man, he's a hot shot and a hot rod car. He's badass.
We got to get Vince into Gibsons because we are Gibson people and Vince is not a Gibson guy. You're a PRS guy.
I'm a PRS guy, yeah.
That's all right. But do you like the neck?
I do. I like PRSs a lot. Like I used to play an Epiphone for a very long time,
which is a Gibson company.
Yes,
Gibson company. So I love Les Pauls.
I have an Epiphone too.
Yeah, I love Les Pauls. I've always loved the shape of the Les Paul. It's so iconic to me.
Yeah.
And when I played my first PRS, it was a Tremonti SE because I'm a Mark Tremonti fanboy, as we all know here.
Nice.
Felt like a marriage between my Les Paul and my Fender Strat,
which it literally is.
Nice.
And to me, those are my two favorite guitars before I got my PRS. So it feels like the best of both worlds to me.
Because the dirty and the clean are the tone. And I know what you mean, man. That's amazing. Did you ever play a Parker Fly?
I have not.
Did you actually? Because I have a question. Did you play it?
Yes.
Now you're a guitar player.
Yes.
What did you like about that guitar?
I liked the sound of it. And I was very early in my playing at the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
I was very young when it came out. And I didn't... I just loved it. It was an odd shape.
In new metal.
So I had to be different.
They were around for a minute. Remember that whole thing?
Yeah.
So just the sound. But did it feel? You're a Gibson guy. I know you. Like,
yes.
What was the? I've never even dealt with one.
Because it was the trans. Well, a lot of my, it's all about the song. I play for the song.
Understood, sure.
So a lot of my songs go from clean to dirty, back to dirty, back to clean. Meaning distortion.
Of course. Of course.
And, not that I'm a great, mathematician.
But I'm asking about the Parker, though.
It did very well. It did very...
For both. It did dirty and clean.
Nice. Yes.
Now, the Parkers, I think in my mind, jazz. When I see the Parkers, I think jazz players.
Yeah.
But there were some new metal bands. Yeah. I don't like that phrase, but it was a thing that I saw that were using them.
Yeah.
And it was interesting to me. And they were so light that I have this problem. If you can't feel it, it's like, is it really there? You know what I mean?
I get to say, that's kind of what I'm saying. Like, is this really, is it like...
Sorry to cut you off, if I'm wrong. The Parker's just so, I get the understanding. Those are like the semi-hollows, so the hollow bodies, right?
More or less, yeah. There's not much there. It's kind of like, you know how the modern Ibanez is a really, really thin?
Yeah.
It's like that. But then, like, the frame of it, like, you know what? We're going to pause and pull up a picture of the Parker for Vince to look at.
Okay.
Bear with us. All right, so we show a picture of Vince, and he says...
Oh, those things.
That's a Parker.
Yeah.
So when I see that guitar, I think jazz. I don't think metal. I don't think blues.
I think weird modern Frank Zappa kind of
thing. I'll give you that. Now, there's a comfortability. The modern Ibanezes are ridiculously comfortable to play. Any player will tell you that. You don't have the bottom. You don't have the sustain. But goddamn, like, you could fly on them. The necks are just so...
I have a modern Ibanez. I have a Ibanez JS.
The Paul Reed, you pay the PRS, right?
Yeah, that's his thing.
The neck on that is, if I remember, I haven't played one in a long time, I believe they're similar, man. I know it's odd. It's
no
odd.
To the Parker. I agree. Similar. It is similar.
Like that.
But there's several different PRSs now too. Mm-hmm. There isn't like what back in the day. The PRS was one kind of way, and now there's several variations of it because it's a company and a thriving thing. I remember the first time I think I ever really comprehended seeing one, and we've had this discussion, I'm sure, on this very same podcast before. Ted Nugent.
Yes, from when he did Damn Yankees with Tommy Shaw and Jack
was,
Lynn.
For Johnny Zero, it was the zebra guitar.
Yes.
Remember? It was the black and white zebra guitar.
And thank you for bringing up the single. Not the radio one, the one with the extended solo. Yes.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And then they really started getting popular with Santana, I think, because I think Santana was like the first guy to have his own signature model.
I agree.
Yeah.
I didn't get to see this shows my age. I was young when Santana was really big. So
no.
When I first heard of him, I heard
alive.
When he,
you weren't alive when Santana.
Exactly.
Was big.
I first heard him when he did the guest artist records.
Mm-hmm. Hold on.
That he still does.
So you didn't hear about him until 1999. 30 years
that's,
into his
that's probably when I was young. Whatever. But then PRSs started really getting popular with nu metal, which it's a weird term.
But then the thing of it is, the Mesa Boogie head that you're going through now is the same head. Like I was around. Marshall was king, right, for rock and roll / the whole thing, right? You think Hendrix, Marshall, right?
Love that.
Fucking PRSs pop up. And then they coupled them with the Mesa Boogie, the modern Mesa Boogie. A few people know this. Appetite for Destruction era Guns N' Roses, Slash was rocking a JCM 900 from Marshall, and all Izzy had was Mesa Boogie.
Mm-hmm.
That's all he had. So it had those corresponding tones. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people don't know that. They think it's just Marshall. But it's not. It's PRS meets Marshall. Not PRS. Fucking Mesa Boogie meets Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
This head that you're now going through is like the new metal head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's so much more. It's so much.
There's
more.
So many knobs there to play. You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I
always go back to the PRS too. Like as I mentioned before, the most expensive guitar in my collection is the Joe Satriani Evidence I got.
Oh my god.
Which is
the silver thing?
No, it's white. It's all white with the whammy bar.
Oh, beautiful guitar.
It is beautiful, but I rarely use it mainly because one, it's a Floyd Rose.
Yeah,
and
they're cool though. I like
they're cool. I love.
They're
I
temperamental
love
though.
They are.
Okay, that's
they
that's
are.
A fact.
And
I prefer Kayla.
I mean, if I have Floyd Rose too, I want to make the Dimebag Joe Satriani scream.
Yeah,
you want to naturally.
Hell
and
yeah.
I love that
God bless
sound
you guys.
Effect because I love my guitar player. I love making weird noises.
Sure, man.
So
of
I try to. Just realize what I just
called a ruckus. It's like me, man.
I'm just looking at Vex, just laughing at that. He's like,
"Well, I don't want to talk over you. Like, I want to say so much shit because we're talking about guitars, but I'm trying to be respectful. We're on my phone.
It's your show, though.
It's our show today.
Okay.
You are a guest on the Vex and Vex. You did a bunch of episodes, actually.
I did.
This isn't your first. Now, Johnny and I have another podcast together, which is more popular than the Vex and Vex.
Which
the TV
I just
stop,
witnessed
man.
Earlier.
A little bit of a recording.
It was literally the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Thank you.
I listened to you guys on the thing too, man. Come on, this your podcast is awesome too. Man.
See, yours is really entertaining though.
Yeah.
It's like
and
him, we're talking shit the entire time.
Yeah, we're all musicians, right?
Right.
So we dig it.
Yeah.
But if you're not a fucking musician, you're like, what are they talking about? What is a PRS? I don't care.
Exactly.
Tell me about titties and girls and things that I care about. So
right.
We'll discuss the titties and girls too.
Right.
But we can fight about Star Wars. Johnny Zero has a completely different fucking opinion than we do. About
oh wow.
Wow.
And here's what happened.
Throwing me right into the fire.
No, not at all. It's a corresponding opinion. So John and I have had the heated Star Wars discussions on the Vex and Vex podcast.
Yes.
But I love that Vince is here now.
Some that didn't even make the air.
Vince, do you want to hear a fucking story?
Yeah.
All right.
We were like King Kong versus Godzilla. Then.
We were recording. Yeah. We were recording the regular TV Dads podcast, and I was like, "Hey, let's take a break and let's record." But we were like a couple hours into working, so we're a little fried. It's a little late. I think we went to dinner already.
Yeah, right.
We came home.
4 hours of
We got into a real motherfucker argument
right.
on the podcast, like
right.
to the point where I was like screaming and he was screaming. And
yeah.
this is my dear friend.
Yeah.
I love and adore Johnny. Zero. So to have that fight is like upsetting, and to have it like recorded where you could hear it back, I don't know, man. I believe in God. The shit deleted off my computer.
Yeah,
we lost
it
for real.
Yeah.
So then like we do another TV Dads thing, and I'm like, fuck it, let's try it again.
He had like fire coming out of his eyes.
True story.
I had like, lasers coming out of my. It was just crazy.
So now it's 1 a.m.
Wow.
Like, I love them.
Let's try it again. It's 1 a.m. It'll be fucking awesome. Come on.
Yeah. And John's like, dude, I don't know, man. I'm like, no, fuck it. It'll be fucking great. And we turn it on. I think we got 6 minutes in, and we were screaming at each other about Disney. Like grown men. Grown men fighting. Like fighting about Disney and yes. Luke Skywalker and yes. shit that does not matter.
Look what Disney owns.
I'm in the midst of this horrible thing with my wife. That, like, Johnny knows about?
Yes,
we fight over nothing. Like, I'll be like, oh, that square is green. It's not green, it's red. I'm like, it's fucking green. And then it's like, we don't talk for 3 days. Like, for real, over nothing. Like,
wow,
perceptions. And my friend John and I had the same problem. So perhaps it's me, Vince, and it's not her. No, I'm just kidding. It's definitely her. Anyway, how do you feel? You went to see Star Wars in the theater. I want you to listen, Vince. Okay. We're going to have a conversation. Tell us, the podcast audience, how you felt about the most recent. It's episode 8, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's episode 8. What were your thoughts?
You're talking about the recent trilogy, really.
No, no, just 8, though. Like, when you went to see 8 in the theater.
Well, it, over Christmas. I had to build it into 7.
Go ahead, bro.
Okay, I believe that they emasculated Mark Hamill as an actor, and I mean that personally, because the only thing that saves that movie is his acting, to be honest with you. And they was coached to act older than he did.
Then look, he appears, it's true.
Yeah, even though Alec Guinness was technically
the
older.
The same age.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Look, he can. He did it. He shaved his. I mean, come on, man.
At the same time.
Let me finish. Let me finish, buddy. I'm sorry.
This is getting real in here.
Look, two words. General Skywalker. All right? You've made this tragic mistake of doing 3 movies of the prequels, which you could have done in 1 movie to explain the origin of Darth Vader. I have no problem with that. And you could set up, could still have the Obi-Wan young and all that. You didn't need 3 movies to do that.
Good sentence.
And then you have a living Mark Hamill, a living Carrie Fisher, a living Harrison Ford, dick that he is. He is a dick, believe me. But
I love Johnny Zero.
I'm just telling you, go watch some things sometimes. But my point is, that God rest her soul, with Carrie Fisher dying, and Luke says the rebellion is reborn this day. What sense does it make? You don't have to make it a sexist, socio-political, anti-white racist, whatever crap that they're talking about. I don't want that shit in my Star Wars. Sorry, I'm not a racist in the first place. I want my Star Wars just to be entertaining. But, General Skywalker. I mean, Carrie is, you know, no longer with us, you know, and they've killed off Han, and why not use Mark Hamill, who's clearly the most talented actor on there? They're doing a Bela Lugosi job on him.
But you say this word "they," right? And it's just a script.
When
man.
I say "they," I'm referring specifically to Kathleen Kennedy and Rian Johnson, the director.
All right, now Vince, what is your humble retort?
I humbly respect your opinion.
Yes, sir.
Very humbly respect that.
Thank you, sir.
Personally, I don't think the word you used was emasculated?
Yeah, meaning that, like, the entire movie of The Force Awakens is you're waiting to see Luke Skywalker, and then,
okay.
And that's literally, like, in his own words, not mine, it's literally a cliffhanger. Like, he's
hanging
on a cliff. Yeah, on a cliff.
Yeah, it's literally.
In a literal sense. Yeah, like, figurative and.
You know, and you're thinking you can see the original characters. Yeah. Now, when he goes there, now, do you think Luke Skywalker, this man who stood up to the most feared, dark, evil person in the universe, beat him, bested him in battle, yet still retorted at the end so he would not, and sacrificed himself to the Emperor to turn his father back to the good side. Do you think that Luke Skywalker would just run away and cower like that?
Well, if I may.
Yes, sir, and I respect your opinion too, man.
Yeah, if I may, and I've heard this debate from several people about how they handle Luke, and what I want to keep in mind, Luke Skywalker, as I've discussed, you probably heard my first episode, but he's my favorite Star Wars character of all time.
Gotcha.
And I was a fan of the original books, and I've read.
Mine as well.
I love Luke Skywalker. When I went in to see this movie, I did not want to see Mark Hamill be a retelling of Alec Guinness. I did not want to see him be like, oh, I will train you immediately. Because, you know, to me, because then I would have been like,
yeah,
that's stupid. Sure. I'm sorry. It's like,
yeah,
You're not Alec Guinness. You don't want to be Alec Guinness. I want Luke to look at all the things the Jedi screwed up, because they screwed up a lot. We had a whole three movies about how awful the Jedi are.
Absolutely.
Well, I wouldn't say that phrase, but
awful in a sense that
awful is the wrong adjective.
No, he's got a point. Vincent's got a point here.
Awful in the sense that, you know,
led to the creation of Darth Vader.
Eventually.
Lord Vader, the most successful of all characters.
But, so, I think with the fact that it's his nephew, mm-hmm. he senses this overwhelming evil.
Mm-hmm.
Probably, and we, again, I want to say, we have another movie coming up. So, but we get the vibe that Kylo's definitely stronger than anybody we've seen before. Probably more so.
Bullshit. Snoke could do shit Kylo couldn't fathom. That whole mind fucking thing to the other side of the universe, mm-hmm. that's heavy.
However,
that's heavy.
Kylo still
developing. You have a point.
That's a great point. As powerful as Snoke was, we don't know this. He might be dead as fuck.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, John and I discussed it too. Yeah. He might not be fucking dead.
He might be too.
Yeah.
And if he is dead as, if he truly is mm-hmm. dead as fuck.
Ah, dead as fuck, fuck.
He did, as powerful as he was, he could not sense Kylo turning the saber on him.
But they use that word hubris 1,000 times in the film. So arrogance and hubris, like, it's a thing.
The Emperor Palpatine had it too.
I gotta tell you.
Speaking of which.
Arguably, Palpatine's probably the most powerful person to ever appear on screen.
Do it.
In relation to the Star Wars thing. This is why. Yoda's the baddest motherfucker of all time.
And Palpatine beat him.
Not beat him.
Lucas.
Didn't fuck. Yeah, but at the time, right? Mm-hmm. You got fucking Yoda, who's the master. And Yoda had no idea what was coming. And the shit took years to get there.
That's brilliant.
That's how fucking smart you gotta be. Now, you had told me, Vince, and I love this story, that he was manipulating his own fucking master before he
was
the Sith.
There's a
master.
Great book called Darth Plagueis.
Yes.
Which strongly recommend. Even struggle make him recommend reading it, or even pick up the audiobook and listen to it.
Oh, awesome.
The Star Wars audiobooks. Star Wars audiobooks are great because...
Yeah. They have actual actors and doing
Well, mainly one narrator doing the voice, but you have the soundtrack from the movies and the sound effects playing in the background.
Exactly.
And throughout this story,
which ties
into episode one, the ending ties into episode one, and it tells the whole Palpatine origin. And right near the end, he tricks Plagueis into...
Mm-hmm.
getting drunk,
mm-hmm.
and then as he's preparing his speech to be accepted as Supreme Chancellor, and as Plagueis is about to rest, Palpatine like lights him up with the Force Lightning.
And that Force Lightning shit, has anyone ever done on a screen except for Palpatine?
Dooku did
do the lightning. So, but I don't, alright, I'm not good with the prequels, okay? Mm-hmm. I've seen them, I own them, I don't really watch them often, I should watch them more. Was Dooku that formidable of an opponent?
Because
he was a great Jedi.
He was. He whooped Anakin and Obi-Wan around. Like, it was no one's issue.
And Obi-Wan was a bad motherfucker back then, right?
Yeah, he was. He wasn't truly Obi-Wan yet.
And then to piggyback off of what he's saying, you're also talking about a trail back to the Hammer horror films of the 1950s and 60s, which is Peter Cushing, which played,
like a vampire
General Tarkin.
Yeah. And Christopher Lee.
And Christopher Lee was Dracula. Count Dooku.
Count Dooku.
You know what's fucked up?
Count.
And they had the thing I don't understand is they had these great action scenes where, you know, with these special effects and CGI, and they're flipping around and Yoda and him. But Dooku was flipping around too. That was pretty, it was pretty impressive.
No, so Dooku had Force Lightning. I forgot that.
You know.
Which is paramount. We never saw Snoke do that.
Someone used Force Lightning in Last Jedi. I remember it ricocheted off the ground. I forgot who did it.
Was it her by mistake?
No, it was early in the film. I could have sworn it was Kylo doing it. I need to rewatch it.
Yeah, I got to rewatch it now.
But going back to Luke Skywalker debate we were discussing. So we need to remember it was Kylo, and he just senses overwhelming evil within him. And so Luke had a moment, which I thought I liked this moment because it shows, he's this fabled hero, but he's also flawed.
Yeah.
He's also human.
He was also.
So he had a moment of weakness, I felt, which I liked. I liked that he had a moment of weakness.
Okay.
And I actually loved how in the movie you had two different versions of the story.
I didn't think he was unflawed to begin with, though. I mean,
oh well, it wasn't. You know, wasn't that he was unflawed? It was just I like a flawed character.
Oh, absolutely, more relatable. But I don't. Well, I don't think.
No, this is. I'm sorry. I have an answer for that.
Yeah.
He was off screen for 30 years. So right. In 30 years, we don't know what had happened or what had changed. Because technically, at the end of Jedi, he is mature. He's powerful. He was smart enough not to fall into the trap of the dark side. One could presume that in the 30 years after, that he would have grown tremendously and be seen as godlike almost and unflawed. No, hey, it's a presumption. You can't say,
I'm telling you.
I never thought of that.
There's a great book called The Legends of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah.
That was released leading
up.
Is that
canon, though?
It is. It's official canon.
Okay.
It's based off the... It's a frame story. So the overarching story is children on the casino planet in the movie are restless, and they ask for stories to be told.
May I ask, when this was released, is this before Lucasfilm Limited is bought by Disney or not?
Like, this is way after Disney bought everything. This is leading to the release.
This is somewhat recent then.
Yeah, this was tied into The Last Jedi's release.
Gotcha.
So it's a frame story. Children on the casino planet need to settle down. They ask for stories to be told, and they want to know about Luke Skywalker. And so all these different characters tell a story about Luke Skywalker. It's so funny. One thinks Luke was a con artist during Tatooine stuff and was an Imperial officer. This is just propaganda the Imperial fed. The Empire fed their people about the rebels, and which is actually really funny too. And then one tells about Luke during the Battle of Jakku, which is the planet in Force Awakens, where you see the crash Star Destroyer, and they said they saw Luke Skywalker pulling the Star Destroyer down using the Force, which I thought was awesome because that calls back to the Force Unleashed. So you have all these different legends within the universe. They believe Luke Skywalker is just like godlike. And I think to him, the fact that Kylo, not only did he overpower him in that brief moment, but he also killed his entire school of Jedi.
And
he
was
this fledgling Jedi.
The Knights of Ren.
The Knights of Ren, which I'm hoping to God the next movie is called Knights of Ren.
Yeah, I'm not, I hear you.
But I'm thinking.
I politely disagree. Politely.
No, that's fair.
I just think that there's too many stories between now and then, and that to have him show up and the way that if you know Kathleen Kennedy is, do you know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, I know Kathleen Kennedy.
You know the whole boycott and everything?
Yeah.
And how it has hurt them.
I think it's kind of dumb that they're doing that.
I'm not saying I respect your opinion, but they've made a serious dent in their revenue. They've made enough that people notice. But the feminism and all that stuff, which is great, I have nothing against women or anything like that. But the thing about Luke and just going in, he's going in to look at his nephew. There's just so much dirty stuff in the movie that I do like the end. That thing they should have saved that for episode 9 if he was going to go out
He is confirmed to be coming back for the next movie. Official cast announcement? He's back.
Okay, fair enough.
But it's got to be Force Ghost.
Hey, he's got to be a Force Ghost, which is still awesome though. I think in that final moment when Luke finally comes to his senses, I just love that he was just so freaking overwhelmingly powerful.
And I said this before.
And I agree with that, but there was a lot of fighting going on between Hamill. This is why they treat Mark Hamill like that, because he's not afraid to say what's on his mind.
Hamill and, that's not Mother Scott. I heard that story too, but it's mainly because.
I've seen him say it. It's on YouTube. You can see
it too.
But he's, he's not going to, be a dick and, not get. That's his job. He's got kids, and those kids that look up when he's walking out through the fiery pit, the fiery hole, and all that. Those are his children.
This conversation is so much more diplomatic than the conversation that Johnny Zero and I had about the exact same
that's
subject.
Because we are nice and respect each other, and even if we don't disagree, don't agree on everything, we're actually able to be friends and respect each other. I listen to him; he listens to me.
I see a revisiting theme in this podcast that it's not you, it's me.
Vex is secretly Palpatine.
God, I'm Vader all day. Buried my first wife. Vader all day.
He's a great guy. I love him to death.
Love Darth Vader to death. That's your favorite? That's cool. I love Darth Vader too. Now listen, something mathematical and odd about the Star Wars franchise. Mm-hmm. The character of Darth Vader is hands down commercially the most popular part to ever be a part of Star Wars, which would shock me. You would think that like the Luke Skywalker toys and like all this, like the Ewok shit, Darth Vader paraphernalia outsells everybody constantly.
That's because they're promoting it more. They have the three prequel movies, and his helmet has been in every film.
Yeah, iconic too. Just look at the sheer sight of this dude. It's like he looks awesome. He looks terrifying.
Well,
but he looks awesome.
You're wrong.
I agree with that.
In the Han Solo movie, there's no speak or mention of Vader in any capacity.
I did not see.
No,
that.
But you said every film. So
well, I meant every. That's a side film.
And actually, this is important too. In the first film. Okay. Episode one, there's no helmet.
I thought there was a little. No, I thought there was like a little scene that kind of. It may not be the helmet, but like tease the helmet maybe.
That,
like,
yes, the shadow. Right.
That was the poster. I remember.
That's like a meme. That's not like.
No, but he's right though. That you knew that's what it was about.
John.
He's right.
He's right. I'm right. You said the helmet was in every single film, and I'm telling you, I only got two where it's not. I'm gonna go for three in a second, but keep going.
Well, what I mean is, I don't mean that Anakin, the little kid, wore the helmet in that first movie, but there was toys and merchandising and posters and teasers and so forth. All this stuff goes behind it that did happen in Phantom Menace, and that's the truth. And I swear to God, you can look it up.
I'm not disagreeing with that sentence.
I remember the earliest poster, I think, for episode one was Kid Anakin walking in Tatooine by his house, and his shadow is Darth Vader's shadow.
But that's not in the film.
It's cool, though. It's really cool, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a moment in two where he's hugging Padme right before he goes off bike to save his mom.
Yep.
And the shadows there kind of made it look little Vader-esque, except not really.
Dude, he was like crazy eyes motherfucker and
very
shit.
Very creative foreshadowing.
He was like crazy eyes motherfucker and shit. Like he was going to kill. Shit. And yeah, it was bad. It was really bad. I like the guy who played Anakin. A lot of people don't, but I kind of like that actor.
I think episode three showed his way better acting in that than two. Two, it's not his fault. It's just...
Actually, I've seen him in other films, and he's actually pretty
good.
I've
seen him other stuff, too. Look at Natalie Portman. Natalie Portman's a great actress, too, but even her dialogue was a little...
No, it's just that it was awful, and they had it like... It was about Senate and all this shit.
And you make Samuel Jackson boring, too.
How
do you make Sam Jackson boring?
Yo,
It was so funny. Like, in episode three, there's a moment when Anakin's like, "No one sit on this council. How dare you?" I wanted Sam Jackson going, "Man, shut the fuck up! Shut the fuck up, Skywalker! Get in your fucking chair, you little bitch!" That's what I wanted him to say.
It's weird. Samuel L. Jackson said, you know, that Jedis can survive gigantic falls,
right?
He's
dead as fuck.
I'm just saying.
Well, maybe Sam Jackson can survive.
No, but there's a movie he made where his character, in the first 2 minutes, he jumps off a building and he dies. That's funny you say that. The Other Guys, you ever see that movie?
No, I haven't, actually.
It's kind of funny. The Rock and Samuel Jackson are like the coolest cops in the world, and they're on this 50-fucking-story building, and the guy jumps over the edge with like a parachute, and they're like, "Well, let's aim for the bushes." They're like, "All right," and they jump off, they just, right in the middle of the street, they would both die. And that's like the way the movie opens, you're like, fuck! So he definitely doesn't. But he claimed in an interview right when episode 7 came out, he's like, "I'm just saying, I could have survived the fall. Just saying."
Well, now he's dust.
Be cool if he's Snoke.
Now he's dust.
He's got a lot of power and Disney, so who knows? They're talking. Have you heard talks of a Marvel Star Wars from based on the comic book series?
Oh, yeah. Those comics are good.
Yeah. I had some of the two. He thinks that I'm crazy or something. I'm telling you that they had like the original. I had them. You know, I had older brothers.
Like the
Like they came from a fanzine. It was original.
Yeah, I remember that. Marvel very briefly worked on Star Wars way back in the day.
Yeah, before anybody else did. Before it even got to be a social phenomenon.
Dan was like a dark horse.
Yep.
Started doing it, and then because Disney bought them, then Marvel now is doing it again. Which those are great comics, by the way.
Yeah.
Those are great stories. Absolutely. They tie into the movies and everything.
Yes, and the Luke Skywalker you see there is not the same as you see here. And I've even heard a rumor. I don't know if it's true, but that Sebastian
Stan, Winter Soldier, looks like young Mark Hamill.
He does.
I would love to see that kind of movie.
I don't. I think it'd be great too. Like a solo Skywalker movie. But I'll be honest with you. I think Hamill still has gas in the tank for this story going in Episode 9.
I hope so.
It's confirmed though, so he has to be. And there's no. And here's the thing.
Not as a Force ghost though.
Stop. There's no Leia, brother. There's no Leia. This episode was Leia's episode. Mm-hmm. So Han had one, Luke had one, and Leia's going to get one, and she fucking died for real in real life.
Yes.
So now, which it could be prominent.
Well they actually when they announced the. They just announced the cast recently.
Billy Dee Williams.
Billy Dee's back, so they mentioned Carrie specifically, and they said
all the deleted scenes and shit.
The deleted scenes from Force Awakens.
Yeah, they're gonna
none of the scenes we haven't even seen.
And it's not it's not that lunatic. I'm sorry to interrupt. I apologize. The that lunatic girl, not crazy girl, but that actress that kind of that was going to take her place. She's always mouthing off.
Brother, what are you talking about?
Oh, what's her name? I can't remember her name.
Well, I don't know what you're talking
Asian?
About.
No. I
take
know.
Her place
it doesn't matter. She's trying to take Carrie Fisher's place. You got to forgive me on this, but this was actually talked about. It's on. I'll shut up until
was
I
it,
figure
was
out.
Was it Rose?
No. Trying to be a new carry on the character of Princess Leia.
Okay.
No. Nothing against Rose or anything. Yeah. I just think that the character. That of Luke Skywalker just makes common sense to me that if the rebellion is reborn, he becomes a general. He was a general. He comes back, takes his sister's place. She dies. And now you still have room to develop, you know, the characters Poe and Ren and all these people. The one I'm not really fond of is Poe. But I can deal with
it.
Why
do you like Poe?
Because like they're obviously positioning him to take Leia's place.
No, he's Han Solo.
No, I think he's going to be a general, dude. And I just think that would be Skywalker's place. And I think he's still young enough that he could be that character.
But he's not
Han Solo. Yes,
he's in his 60s. Mark Hamill.
Let me tell you, I don't mean that I don't like the guy who plays Poe, or I don't like
the character's fun.
Yeah. I get that part.
I'm holding for Huck.
Absolutely,
but holding for General Huck.
Well, what are you going to
red hair?
Hucks.
Yeah, he's got a lot of fans out here too. The thing is, there is still room for Poe to be that action kind of Han Solo kind of character. He doesn't need to be, you know, fisted down your throat as, hey, Luke's dead. They were putting this guy up here because, you know, it's just like
Luke. I get so frustrated.
General Skywalker,
like,
what's
I'm
wrong
just
with
letting
it?
You go on this tangent, right? And here's the thing.
I couldn't remember the actress's name. That's
I don't
why
even know what you're
stupid.
I still don't know what
Laura
you're talking
Dern?
About.
Is that Laura Dern's character?
So we stepped away briefly. Johnny Zero looked it up. You said that Meryl Streep wants to take over the character of Princess Leia?
Yes. That was the rumor flying around. And they control these rumor mills. I don't believe they're going to do it. But at one point that was talks. I don't know. I wasn't there. But it was enough news around.
I think,
there
you
was
know,
some truth to it.
With makeup, it might have fucking worked, actually. Think about it.
It's Meryl Streep. She can do whatever.
I would never allow it or want it or sign off on it. However,
mm-hmm.
makeup and who mannerisms, I guess it would work, right? I'm asking for a friend.
She couldn't lace Carrie Fisher's shoes.
Are you crazy?
Yes.
She has multiple Oscars.
Fucking right,
Carrie Fisher was out of her fucking mind.
I don't care. They're talking about playing Princess Leia. Are we talking about this movie? Or
dude,
are we talking
sincerely,
about
I'm not gonna lie to you.
The catalog.
You're making no sense. Like she can't lace her boots. It's a one-trick pony. Princess Leia is a character from 1977.
Okay.
No, for real. And since then, this woman who you said can't lace her boots. Let me talk. Then you can say something.
Okay.
This woman who can't lace her boots has multiple fucking Oscars. She can act. I don't even like actors, but she can act.
I didn't say she couldn't act.
But you said she couldn't lace her boots.
As Princess Leia.
Well, I said I agreed. So what was the point? What was the point of saying that?
Well, because how do you have this character, this prominent character of the original characters, and you're trying to relaunch a franchise and introduce it to new people and young people with these new characters, Finn, Rey.
You're getting long-winded.
No, I'm not getting long-winded. I'm making a point, and you listen to what I'm saying.
Finish the point.
Okay, the point is that Meryl Streep, it doesn't matter. If Carrie Fisher really dies, right, you have to have at least one human character to be the transitional character for the parents who are taking the people to the
movies.
Is this
your point? Is your point done now?
General Skywalker is my point.
Okay. That's ridiculous. A, it's already launched. We're on the third film. Okay. That sentence means nothing. Okay. Relaunching? Nope. Done. Third film. Actually, if we're like, we're on our fifth film, because Han Solo's a film, and so's Rogue One.
Yeah,
so we're on our fifth. No. You talked. I'm going to talk now. Secondly, they didn't actually do it. You're like, oh, if they do this, it's iconic. They didn't do it. And the third movie was her installment. Unfortunately, she fucking died in real life.
Yeah, God,
they didn't do it. It's a rumor. It didn't happen. And I just said, theoretically, might have worked. And you're like, no, but none of that made sense. It's already launched. It's a fifth film. Secondly, they didn't actually do it. So when you say these things, and then you end up with, oh, General Skywalker. What the fuck does that mean?
That means that you need one character that is human.
Lando.
That comes between.
Actually, the kid might be right.
He might be right.
No, for Lando. Real. Like, no bullshit. Like, that might be the fucking answer. Now, it was supposed to be exactly what you're saying. Exactly what you're saying.
Character.
No, exactly what you're saying. This film was Leia's film.
Yeah, but see, now. See, it's so sociopolitically
thing. See, I don't agree with that.
I do. I do. I do. It's obvious, and I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one
it's
out there.
It's a fucking make-believe movie.
I get it, but why the fuck do they put politics and feminism and all this other crap? I'm not racist or anti-feminism or anything.
Hold up. This politics in the original trilogy, if I might add.
They add, but I'm saying the way that this girl, Kathleen Kennedy, has gone out. Some of the questions she said, she's made comments saying, we don't need any more white men characters and all this stuff. It's like, what are you talking about? Luke Skywalker is like the most positive, you know, one of the most positive, like...
That's
like,
true characters ever. I agree.
Yeah, like he's not going to... Yeah. He doesn't care about that, you know?
Now, and the hold Christianic, on, but wait. This is important, brother. Yeah. It's just a film. Like, it's not about politics. And this woman could have been taken out of context. The thing you're saying... I hear you. We don't want to have another white male character. That's a little offensive. I happen to be Caucasian, right? However, and I'm a guy. I have balls and stuff, you know? But I remember, and you guys got to help me, and I'm not encyclopedic authority on this. There was a huge backlash because Finn happened to be an African-American before episode 7 came out.
There was
perhaps said quote that you're visiting is in reference to that, which I could see a huge company saying.
No, that's terrible. No. That's not what I'm referring to. Finn was great. The actor's great. I'm not.
Well, you're not here. I'm not
then there was. No, what Vex was saying was that there was. I do remember there was a bit of backlash when Finn was introduced as a character.
Tremendous.
Really?
There was. It was huge.
Pre Force Awakens.
Yeah. Pre. There was a big
Black Stormtrooper,
and then people were bitching about it.
So when you say that's quote. I could hear that a company would say that in reference to that problem.
Fair enough, but this comment that I'm talking about, these comments I'm talking about, are come way after. These are after Last Jedi and the backlash, the fan backlash. Right. I did not. I was honestly. I need to educate myself on what you're talking about, the pre-media stuff before Force Awakens, because I purposely did not. And you remember this. I didn't want to hear anything on the internet. I didn't want to know anything about it. I just wanted to go see it. So. It's possible I did not know that. Now, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about after, I'm talking in Kathleen Kennedy's words, in return to the fan backlash of the way of the treatment of the Luke Skywalker character. Some of the things she said was ridiculous. And if I say anything about it, it's like, I'm not a white supremacist. I'm not, you know.
Well, why do you give a fuck what this woman said? Why do you give a shit?
Well, because it's just the dumbest plot line I've ever seen in a movie.
But she didn't write the fucking movie, John.
She's the one.
A white guy our age wrote the fucking movie.
Yes. But the
Johnson wrote it?
Johnson.
You didn't know that? That's his movie.
See, I actually...
Everything. They liked it so much. He gets it. Stop, John. They like it so much, he gets his own fucking trilogy. So his lapdog thing might actually make sense.
That's I think I know the quote you're talking about with Kathleen Kennedy, and I think I need to relook at it, but that's another time.
Fair enough.
I think that was
it's beneath us.
Might have been taken out of context.
I have no desire to ever discuss this again. I don't want to talk about this. You ruined Star Wars for me. Like, I'm mad. Like, I'm upset. I want to throw a table across the room. This is sad. You're like lapdog and socioeconomics emasculated. I don't care. Okay. I want to go and eat popcorn. And look at Star Wars. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm like, shit happened. And
so
I got to tell you.
Why?
No. Because then I have to hear a phone call. Do you want to hear something, Vince? I got a phone call that Johnny hated the movie like I made it. He was like mad. He was like, what the fuck? This movie's awful. And the worst part is that Johnny wasn't the only person. I literally received almost a dozen phone calls from different people who were mad at me for the new fucking Star Wars movie, as if to say Vex made this goddamn film. I happen to be a fan of the film. I liked the film, and it was like, hey, man, I didn't like this movie. You're an asshole, man. It's a bad movie.
It's like you can't like the movie.
I like it, goddamn it.
No, I remember reading. I like trolling some people lately. Okay. So there's some guy bitching about Kylo Ren being a whiny crybaby.
Well, kind of.
But here's what I did. I posted a meme with the GIF from Attack of the Clones where he goes, it's all Obi-Wan's fault. I was just like, and there's your boy Vader.
Don't say that.
I love Vader, but it's like...
No, but, all right, he wasn't as much of a crybaby as Kylo Ren. Like, I'd never seen Vader. All right, when Vader gets mad, he kills a bunch of younglings or sand people, right?
Yeah.
This guy gets mad, he fucking chops up the inside of his fucking cachet.
That's sad. I like Kylo, I think.
I like Kylo, too.
I think he's...
He's no Vader.
Also, Adam Driver, though.
I like Adam Driver.
He's a bad mother.
As an actor.
Oh, he was a Marine. Oh, he's a bad mother.
So I can say fucker. It's a podcast. We're okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I sincerely like him as an actor. I like him as a person. He's not right in the character. Like, I remember, I don't know, he's there and he like slid in the hallway. Remember?
Yeah.
They were doing the thing. That was a bit odd. I don't know if the character choice would have done that. Like, hey, I'm Kylo Ren. I'm the successor to the great Darth Vader. Let me slide on my feet in the hallway.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see Vader sliding.
Pimping. We need to talk about the James Gunn thing.
Fucking right. Motherfucker, what do you know?
Well, so from my understanding... And it's been widely documented. So James Gunn, who is the director and I believe the writer as well of all the Guardians of the Galaxy flicks.
And because they're making the third now, theoretically.
Making the film
wink,
now
wink.
Would be the director and writer of the third movie, round it all out. So James Gunn is an outspoken critic of President Trump. It's so hard for me to say that. But and so he, outspoken critic, always gets in debates with people on Twitter. And there was a guy, I don't know this dude's name for the life of me, but he was a Trump supporter who was literally trying to dig up dirt on Gunn's past and found these very old tweets from over a fucking decade.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
You know, and they were – I don't want to bring up the topic because it's not funny whatsoever.
Okay.
But – these really like...
Well, all right. You're being very political, and
yeah.
You're being very intelligent, and I respect that. I'm old.
Okay.
I'm not as intelligent.
Well,
I'm going to speak it as it is.
Take it away.
I'm not a comedian. You and I are musicians. Mm-hmm. We play music, and we podcast, and I write books sometimes, and this is what we do, right? However, if I was a comedian, everything can be funny if you're smart enough to write the joke.
Exactly.
Everything.
Everything can be funny. Look at South Park.
There you go. Actually, brilliant.
Now, did I find Gunn's tweets funny? No.
Now, out of context, maybe not. But what happened 10 years ago on Twitter that he made a retort to or a joke to or a reference to, and you're like, oh, that's not so bad. That's a little bit funny. But the thing of it is, it was a decade ago.
It was a decade ago, and he was very outspoken about that after he got hired for Guardians of the Galaxy. In fact, he apologized literally in 2012.
I think they're going to backtrack because the big blue guy, the muscular guy,
Dave Bautista,
that he's out unless they fucking use him.
Well, the rumor has it that they are looking to use his script or probably reinstate him.
It's a bunch of bullshit is what it is. Like,
yeah.
This guy loses his job for a tweet from 10 fucking years ago, and now you're saying, we're going to use your script. You're getting your job back.
Well, it's like, at the same time, it's like, he said it how many years ago?
10.
It's like...
Yeah.
Yeah, and he owned up to what he did. It's like I said, his apology was in 2012. The dude has owned up to it, and he's changed as a person.
No, you just
since
never
then.
You never apologize. If you say something all color or something fucked up, you just own it. You know, I learned that from Joan Rivers.
Rivers
said fucking blaringly blatant things, and they're like, "You have to apologize." She's like, "I'm a comedian." No, I fucking don't. And that was it. She didn't apologize, and she survived it.
And so, what gets me was how fast Disney was to give him the axe.
Well, it's like a fucking family thing.
But I understand that. At the same time, you hired Victor Silva in 1995 to do Powder.
Right.
I don't know who Victor Silva is.
He was. But you need to know.
It's actually a good point.
He was convicted for child molestation and child pornography
powder.
In the
Holy
90s.
Shit, convicted for it?
Yeah. And Danny made Powder for Disney. So I'm kind of like.
Like proven.
Well, money's money's money.
And then again.
Powder wasn't even that fucking good, actually.
As good of a company as they can be, they also have shit like Song of the South.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Like, you know, he was like, kind of racist. Like, fucking Walt Disney had, like, fucking leanings, man. Look at your face, Johnny Zero. You're going to yell at me in a second. I can tell.
I'm not going to yell at you. I'm just thinking that there's a lot of stereotypes out there. Just because somebody's from the South doesn't mean...
Oh, no. I didn't say that. He's kind of racist.
No, this guy he's talking about is a sicko. Yeah.
No.
Somebody hurts some kids. He's right, man.
Did you fucking hear that they're trying to get them included with gay people? So pedophiles are trying to get in.
No.
You haven't heard this?
Yeah, no, I heard that.
That's fucking madness.
No.
So yes, the pedophilias are trying to get included with the gay rights supporting people of the United States, which is just fucking madness to me.
Listen, there's one thing that that really pisses me off, and
what grinds your gears, Johnny Zero?
Oh, it doesn't grind my gears. I'm not making any bones about it. Somebody messes with kids.
It's just unacceptable.
Exactly.
They must be ended.
I would be willing to go further than that. I was saying it's beyond just unacceptable in this PC era. They need to be their ass whipped and you know, they need to be off this planet. Dude. I'm sorry.
Which is it? You're gonna beat them up or throw them off the planet?
Both.
Kill him, bring him back, then kill him again.
I can't even disagree.
Exactly.
It's a kid toucher. How do you disagree with that? You're like, I get it.
And that said, too, yeah, he was joking about that. James Gunn never did that shit. He was just making stupid jokes.
That wasn't kid shit. It was a rape joke.
And I hear you about that. And I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about that other guy.
Yeah, Victor Silva.
Yeah.
So Victor Silva's the guy from...
Powder.
Powder.
Yeah.
Now, did he do anything after that, do you know of, or is that the end of his career?
I've never heard of anything else after that. I've never seen Powder.
You never saw it?
Never saw it.
Did you ever see Boondock Saints?
Yes,
you said you think?
Yeah, with Defoe? That's with Defoe,
yes,
right?
Yes, Defoe. So the one guy from Boondock Saints is the Powder guy.
Oh.
Like the non-Daryl guy.
Really?
Yeah, like Daryl's from fucking Walking Dead, the other guy.
Oh.
That's Powder.
Oh, wow.
That's physically him.
I've had a buddy of mine tell me to watch that.
Which one, bud?
A guy named Chaos. And he said,
to watch what, bud?
Boondock Saints, the film.
You never saw it?
I've seen it a few once, but I never, like you know how...
Probably like bits and pieces, maybe.
Yeah.
Like it's conceptually, TV, though, like, you know, it's like killing evildoers. It's a pretty good film.
Yeah.
Nice.
He said that me and him were the two guys in it, so, you know.
Oh, so he like the Veritas thing, and like so they have. Did you see it?
Vague memories of it.
See, I've seen that. I saw the second one, and then they have like the fucking murderous things in not Greek, fuck Latin on their fingers, like vengeance and things of that nature. Hey, look, noises on a podcast. That's amazing. We shouldn't do that.
Muhammad Ali.
Cassius Clay.
That's what
he said
too.
Yeah.
All right, fuck
What's
it.
My name?
Here we go. Favorite boxer. Go around the table. Who's your favorite boxer of all time?
Tyson.
Ali.
Tyson was great.
Ali
right? Mine's Ali. What about you, Johnny Zero?
Gosh. I'd have to say somewhere between Evander Holyfield, Rocky Marciano.
Rocky's badass.
And I know that's cliche or whatever, but I believe it.
He kicked Joe Louis's ass.
No, well, he actually helped Joe Louis, but by having
that. Now, fuck that guy. That because we'll talk about that in a second.
You have to talk about Joe Louis's career at that time and that fight.
Bro, I'm not even talking about who's your favorite boxer is all I'm asking. Evander Holyfield, Rocky Marciano.
Nails.
So you don't have a favorite boxer?
No,
you give me three people.
I have.
No, seriously, who's your favorite? Give me one.
I have Rocky Marciano.
That's one. So
Evander Holyfield
gets two.
One of my sleepers.
He's got the watch mojo with the honorable mentions right there.
I know, I hear you, but I'm saying I like the way Ike Corte fought. I know that he's whatever, but
John.
And I like
if you had to pick one, O-N-E, singular, who would be your favorite boxer?
I don't know.
Aw, Ali was great.
Joe Frazier too.
Joe Frazier.
I don't know.
We'll just go with Joe Frazier.
Here's what kills me with Joe Frazier. I'm from Philadelphia. I remember Joe Frazier at the end of his life, and it wasn't good. and it makes you sad. Yeah. Like, Ali was dignified, and Joe Frazier was kind of a drug addict and kind of an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. And, I mean, you know, his wife bailed, and he had, like, mental stuff. Because if fucking Ali hits you 100 times in the course of your life, you're probably going to be a little fucked up.
Yeah.
But it makes me sad, because then, like, I don't know, it fell in hard times. Like, people I know in my industry kind of knew him, and it was gnarly. You said Mike Tyson, eh?
Yeah. But, you know, talking about having a life afterwards, George Foreman actually had a pretty good life afterwards.
Yep.
And to be honest, out of everybody we mentioned, he had the biggest fall from grace professionally.
Oh, yeah.
He got destroyed by the older Ali, and he had to go and find him.
Rumble
brilliance.
In the jungle.
Brilliance. Yeah. And then did you know Hulk Hogan was supposed to have the Foreman grill?
Really?
No, I didn't know that.
I did not know that either. Wow.
I did the promotion for the Foreman grill. When you were working? For a cable.
For real?
Yeah. I got a picture with him. Remember the Rick picture?
So wait, did you meet him?
Yeah, absolutely.
No shit. How big is he? Is he like massive?
I mean, a big guy, but he was very fatherly to me.
Well, because he was like Christian and a preacher.
Well, he took special. I don't know.
He
picked me out for some reason. I don't know why.
That's awesome.
He was nice to me, and I just, you know, God bless him. You know what I mean? I don't know what to say, but you know, he came back though. He came back in his career. And he had that win. The one thing I never understood about boxing promotion is this. And Nails, if you're out there listening, I don't know anything what I'm talking about, but why not put Larry Holmes and George Foreman at that time, in the 90s, I'm saying, together, and you have the Battle of the Legends? That would have sold pay-per-view tickets, dude.
Holmes wouldn't have sold. It's just, in my humble opinion,
you know,
Foreman is personable. He's funny. Mm-hmm. He's smart. Mm-hmm. You liked him. Holmes, I'll find out. And tell me I'm wrong, because he does. He talks like that. So these two guys in the 90s are like going to face off, and you have like eloquence, well-read. He's seriously. And it's not going to work. And I like Larry Holmes kind of, except that whole Ali fight. Did you see the last Ali fight with Holmes?
No.
All right. Holmes destroys him. And just keeps fucking hitting him. He should have just stopped.
And also screaming to the referee to
please
stop
the fight, which is true.
And,
but
and a young guy had he. I'm sorry, Vex. I got to interrupt you. I know it's
go
your
ahead,
show.
Man.
I love you, but listen. If some other young kid had been coming up at that time, Ali should have never been in that fight. And if some other kid that didn't idolize him like Holmes did, they'd have killed him. And that's the truth. And
Holmes tried to fucking kill him. Watch the footage. He really... You should have never done that. You knew the fight was over round two. You knew it. You knew it was over. I knew it was over. Holmes knew it was over.
Yep.
Stop hitting him.
That's why he's waving his hands at the referee to stop it.
But then he's like, wah! Like, all right, if you throw a punch and you throw it at 90%,
yes.
Throw it at 16%. Mm-hmm. You're a professional athlete. Mm-hmm. Pull your punch. Mm-hmm. Show it. Make
I've
it look
it.
Good. Exactamundo, you've done it. I know you have. So you're going to tell me Larry Holmes didn't have the fucking skill set to not destroy and decimate this man who then aggravated the Parkinson's to the point of where he fucking couldn't talk a few years later.
Well, Larry Holmes got a bad rap for that, but Larry Holmes was looking, you can see it in between the rounds. He's waving his hands at the referee. I know he gets a bad rap for it because he shouldn't have. You know, but the ref, they weren't calling it. Don't hate the player, hate the game.
No, but you know what's upsetting? You didn't even acknowledge what I just said. You said some things. I had a retort to it, and you said the same thing again. That's upsetting. So let me retort again with the same thing. As a professional athlete, he should have pulled his punches, is all I'm trying to say. Like, you don't have to hit at 90%. Hit at 25%. Hit at 16%, which is my number for some reason. I like 16. Yeah.
I understand what you're saying.
But you didn't even acknowledge it. You were just like, you brushed over it. Not the game. It's like, you're a professional athlete.
Listen, he was doing that so that fight would be called, so his hero, his sparring partner, would be... You know, it would be called and he could go out with grace.
And that's a good question. When we're at round six, do you still got to hit him at 90%?
Well, if they're not calling it and Don King's making money off of it.
Don King is the devil.
Don't hate the player, hate the game.
He is the devil.
As Booker T says.
I don't know, man. I'm trying. I'm seriously having a conversation, though. Like you didn't have to fucking destroy him. It was, like, wrong. He couldn't even lift his fucking hands up. And then someone told me, is Angelo... The fucking trainer, the cut man in the corner for Ali, that was like his name.
Yeah, yep.
So Angelo and the physician were talking, and someone gave Ali some medication that was supposed to drop his weight, and all it did was it took all the moisture out of his body, so he went in dehydrated. So even if it was a fair fight, he was dehydrated from days of trying to, like, fucking lose this weight. Yeah, whatever the pills are. I'm not a pill guy. But he took them.
Yeah.
So he goes in, he's dehydrated, his fucking, his kidneys were shutting down, and he's getting destroyed the whole time. That's a tough motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Like, I work on a roof. I twisted my back Saturday. I wanted to go home. I didn't, but I wanted to leave. This motherfucker stood there for the entire fucking thing with no kidneys going, oh, I'm the champ. I'm like, bang, bang, bang.
And he's telling the truth, because I worked on a roof with him. I seen him.
The point is, he shouldn't have beat the fuck out of Larry Holmes. I'm sorry, Larry Holmes shouldn't have destroyed Muhammad Ali, in my humble opinion. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think so either.
All right, we're done with that. But you said it. You said your point. Favorite Mike Tyson fight?
I guess Evander Holyfield.
Which one?
The last one.
With the ears?
He bit his ear off. Yeah.
Now, really?
Just pure, grotesque entertainment. You know, just... It was a vicious fight.
It was vicious.
And there was such the build-up of the fight beforehand, you know, who was going to win, who was going to lose, you know, who's going to go down in what round or what have you. But when he just came out and just looked at him and said, you know what, I think I'm hungry. I'm going to bite your ear off.
Arte!
No, what it is he wasn't going to win the fight. And he knew he wasn't going to win the fight, and he was just so like, fuck. And then it was a true – now, all right, let's discuss this. You might not remember, Vince. You're a little bit young. We are a learner gentlemen in this building. Did he really headbutt Tyson three times leading up to the bite?
I saw the footage.
The footage, I thought.
No, I'm asking.
Yeah, I think so.
So that enrages him.
He was instigating him.
Enrages
him. Kind of like do something.
So, all right, here's the question. Do we think it was intentional?
What, the headbutt?
Yeah, because he is, like, significantly taller than Tyson. He could have just been like
– could be, but – he's trying to get a rise out of him, see if he gets so angry, that he fucks up and that gives you your opening. That easily could have been the intent.
Was probably intentional, and third might have been.
Third one's being a douche at that point.
No, he just whipped his ass.
No, he did whip his ass, but he did headbutt him too. You don't like Tyson, because you and I have discussed Tyson before, and your whole thing was you're like Buster Douglas, champion of the world, blah, blah, blah.
For one day. I believe in the fact that one day, one man for one day, can do it and pull it off. I'm sorry if you don't.
If the champion is allergic to Vaseline and then you smear Vaseline in both of his eyes and then put him in the ring,
right.
I'm shocked he lasted as long as he did.
Fair enough. That you have that side of story, my side of
story. No, that's not a side. That's a fact. Okay. That's mathematical.
Okay.
All right. Scientific. Well, here's a question.
Go ahead.
This has actually been debated. I blame The Rock for this, because the movie The Rundown. Anyone ever seen The Rundown?
Yes.
They pose the question in their prime, Ali or Tyson in a fight.
Ali all day.
I'd agree.
Hands down.
Ali.
Hands down. Reach, height, and skills. Speed. And no, skill. Yeah. Oh, my God. Remember Ali with the fucking, when he won the belt, how fast he was? He was fucking lightning.
Mike's got the one punch, though. Mike's got that.
You got to get it. You got to hit the punch.
He's got to hit it,
too. I'm actually going to get on Vince's corner on this one. But what era of Mike Tyson?
They're both
in their
prime.
In their top
both
primes. Okay. So Mike's really Iron Mike.
Yeah.
And Ali's, you know, the butterfly sting like
the whole. Yeah.
He was lightning. Ali when he was young was so fast. When they fucked him up over
I agree with that.
Vietnam thing,
Absolutely. That
was the zenith. He would have been like the greatest fighter in history. But for 5 years,
Ali was like Bruce Lee level fast. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Ridiculous. And Tyson never was.
Was there more than one Muhammad Ali boxer?
No.
Because I thought could have sworn I saw Mike Tyson fight Muhammad Ali.
No, there's other Muhammads in the world.
No, but this time, it was
specifically Muhammad Ali.
Facebook, I saw.
All right, we're gonna pause the podcast and look this shit up. Please bear with us.
I thought you were talking about Layla.
All right, we are back. We Googled everything, and he never fought anybody with that name. Now, when Mike Tyson won the World Heavyweight Championship, he was suffering from chlamydia. He fucked a dirty woman, and he went in the ring. He's like, "Oh, my dick hurt! Oh, bang, bang, bang!" True story. And he got the belt.
Wow.
So if you could go in with your dick on fire and still wreck that motherfucker and be world champion, hats off to you. I adore Mike Tyson. I feel sincerely that he was erroneously framed for a rape conviction that was not something that he had done. Because here's the thing: I had a small measure of fame in my life, and women fell out of the sky most of the time, mm-hmm. right? If you're Mike fucking Tyson, they want to have sex with you. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, I got to take this pussy. No. He's Mike Tyson. He shows up, and they just fall. And they're like, I'll suck your dick. And he's like, yeah, I like my dick sucked. It is in my humble opinion that Mike Tyson is not a rapist in any capacity, and that woman kind of lied and fibbed and stuff. Do you guys know who Patrice O'Neal was?
No.
Anybody?
African-American
comedian?
Off top of my head. I know the name.
In season one of The Office, did you ever watch The Office?
Yeah.
Remember when they had the basketball game?
Yes.
Remember the big guy at the end is like, y'all's coming in this weekend, right? Because we're off, right? Right, Mike?
Yeah.
That's Patrice O'Neal.
Oh, wow.
He died of diabetes. Aww. When Patrice O'Neal was in high school, him and a few of his friends ran a train on this girl. And it was consensual. They were all minors. They had sex with this girl, like three dudes, one chick. They're doing drugs. They were hanging out. They're like 16 years old. Well, there are three black guys and one white girl. She kind of got in her head that maybe this is a negative thing, and she fucking pressed rape charges against them. And he's 16. He's a kid. And they sent him to like real man prison for like 6 months or something. And his friend also went, and the friend never recovered and like went, because prison's fucked up and you know bad things happened to him. And Patrice said, I know I didn't rape this girl. And it didn't matter. Like, that's how fucked up it was. Like, their word is just like, they did this, and this is what happened, and blah, blah, blah. And it was like months after the fact that when this went down. I miss Patrice O'Neal. At any rate, this has been the Vex on Vex podcast, episode number 27. Thank you guys for hanging out. Johnny Zero, Vincent, it's a pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me.
Off microphone, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Rick Thomas.
Thank you.
We ask that you please go to the Podbean application on your phone, and you download the Loud and Loaded Network, and you can get the Vex on Vex podcast as well as the TV Dads Wrestling podcast. And this is VexX telling you to stay frosty.